Welcome to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast, hosted by award-winning television director, documentary filmmaker, author, and speaker Craig D. Forrest. Join Craig for the next few minutes as he interviews leaders, artists, and creatives about trends and insights shaping our digital world and faith-based media. This podcast is produced and brought to you by Matchstick Media International. Now, here's Craig.
Welcome to the podcast. We're talking to Yvonne Carlson, and I love this description, digital change agent. Welcome to the podcast, Yvonne.
Thank you so much for having me, Craig.
Great. Absolutely. Glad you took up our invitation. Yvonne and I met for the very first time just a few months ago. We were in, believe it or not, the faraway country of Mongolia, which is in the middle of nowhere. We do mean in the middle of nowhere, Mongolia, right above China, and above Mongolia is Russia. And we were doing a digital media workshop for Far East Broadcasting Company for all of their, some of their employees and such on how to use and platform media to better use. And we got to know each other and had a great time. So that's how Yvonne and I got to know each other and how she has graciously allowed us to interview her. Now, Yvonne, I believe from our past conversations that you started out in Colorado, yeah?
That's correct. I was raised in Colorado, the beautiful Rocky Mountain State.
Do you ever miss Colorado?
Of course. You know, people will ask you, do you want the beach or do you want the mountains? For me, it's all about the mountains. And so the mountains are always calling.
There you go. Oh, what part of Colorado? Because that's a big state.
Well, good question. So I grew up in southeastern Colorado. So I grew up on the plains of Colorado. Think tumbleweeds.
Okay. Oh, okay. And I think you, if I remember right, you got your first, I think your bachelor's degree in Colorado. Yeah.
That's correct. I went to Colorado Christian University, and I also went to the University of Denver.
The Pioneers, Denver University.
Yes.
Pioneers, if I remember. Yes. And I'm a hockey guy, and they have a very, have continuously had a very good hockey team. And boy, they do well. Yeah.
Yeah. When I was on staff at DU, that was one of my favorite perks, was the ability to go to those hockey games. Talking about an amazing environment. It was electrifying. You could feel the energy when they hit the ice.
Yeah, good. How big was the arena? 5,000, 10,000 people maybe?
That's a good question. I think five. It's large. That was one of the things that astounded me. I wasn't expecting that kind of facility. It makes sense with their commitment to hockey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good, good, good. Now you moved around for a little bit there. I know some Dallas and some Chicago. Talk about that. Just give us some milestones of where you went. I know First Baptist Dallas. Go ahead with that.
Sure. So my husband is a pastor. And so part of the reason we moved is that he was getting educated. So we moved from Denver to Chicago, so he could go to Moody Bible Institute, and he received his MDiv there. And I had the opportunity to work at the Moody Church for Dr. Erwin Lutzer running his broadcast ministry. And that was just a tremendous, tremendous experience. I learned so much. And from there, we moved to Dallas. So my husband could go to Dallas Theological Seminary, and that's one of the reasons I ended up at First Baptist Dallas. And what I was doing there is I launched their online campus, their digital church.
Now, when you do a digital church, okay, how long ago was that? Was that 10 years ago, 15 years ago? Because digital...
2015 to 2017.
Oh, that's so not that long ago at all.
They were an earlier adopter in the, you know, online church technology. We partnered with Church Online. That's Life Church's platform.
Okay. Very good. Now, you know what? What are some of the challenges, not only of starting or launching a digital church, But how does it work for engagement with not only your audience, but with the leaders as well?
Well, launching a digital church is much like launching a physical church. You have to think about all of the same aspects. How will you do ministry? More specifically, okay, if I want to do children's ministry, what does that look like? Because as you say, engagement is the thing that you need to solve for. So what does that interaction or that interactivity look like? A lot of churches, you know, they'll have, you know, a stream of their service, which is great. And maybe they have some sort of, you know, commenting feature so you can interact with, you know, whoever the host is. But we actually had an online pastor. So we had a pastor specifically for the campus. And that made a big difference because I think it's back to personal connection. So having participated in digital church planting, people might say, oh, well, then, you know, you want the interactions to be purely digital. And I would say, no, the goal is always life on life. So I think what you have to consider is how can you move those online connections offline? So Life Church's model, where they're doing Bible studies in the communities where people are, you know, attending online campuses, is really the way to go.
What would be some of the strengths of a digital church? And conversely, what would be some of the weaknesses that maybe just don't work or could work better?
Great question. So one of the areas that I've done digital church planting in is the Middle East, the MENA region. And what I've seen is God use that technology to reach people who would not be able to attend a physical church. So yes, there are places in the world where you can't just get up on a Sunday morning and go attend a church in a building. So for those populations where there's a sensitivity to their faith, they now have an online gathering community. So I've seen those, you know, church services or Bible studies, those online communities be very vibrant. And of course, you know, through the use of tools like Zoom, I can see you, I can talk to you, I can interact with you. So I have seen relationship being built digitally. For example, when I was at First Baptist Dallas, there was a gentleman who was watching our church service in Oklahoma, and he actually came to First Dallas to get baptized on a Sunday. So there's much more crossover than people might realize. I think the challenge, though, is scale. So, you know, in your physical church, you know, you have a capacity, you know, you can seat so many people, but online, you can have thousands. So how do you serve people individually? I think that's where the challenge of that model lies.
Interesting. My doctorate is in redemptive filmmaking. And whenever I bring that up, people just, they have that stare like a deer in the headlights look like, what would that be? And I try to explain it. But you have talked about in some of our background about redemptive technology. Describe that. Tell our audience, our listeners, what that might be.
So technology continues to reshape our world in really profound ways. So as we progress into the future, our reliance on technology will only deepen. So it's really, what's our theology about technology? So amid technological transformation, it's important that we explore and uphold our Christian values. And that's what I mean by redemptive technology, that we're evaluating, we're making decisions based on our Christian values. Because just because we could doesn't mean we should. So some of these online platforms have been in the news for having an addictive sort of experience. You know, people spend a lot of time on some of these platforms. Is that right? Is that ethical? So as a Christian technologist, I always want to make sure that I'm thinking about the good of the person And really, I want to think about the good of their relationship with Christ. And any sort of technology or experience that I'm designing, I want to make sure that it would honor God and honor the person.
Yeah. One of the key trends that is no longer a trend, it's here, is artificial intelligence, AI. Where are we going with that? Or is that still a little too early to figure out?
Well, I'm definitely seeing it applied in really good ways within the Christian space. People may not realize that Bible translation has been significantly impacted in terms of being able to produce Bible translations more quickly through the use of AI tools. I'm also seeing it in discipleship and evangelism, where people are using chatbots. Again, that's AI. And, you know, artificial intelligence, again, is technology that mimics a human, right? So these chatbots respect Christian values in the Bible. So it's great if there's a person who's seeking can come to one of these chatbots. I'm thinking about AskJesus.net, the Jesus.net ministry out of the Netherlands. They have this bot where people can ask questions as if they were talking to Jesus. And wow, again, talking about scale, as millions and hundreds of millions of people across the world are seeking answers to their lives. You know, what's my purpose? Why am I here? To be able to interact with an experience that really promotes Christian values is incredible, because they're out there finding alternatives, right? So they get on their browser, they search for something, and what they're finding isn't wholesome, isn't bringing them to Christ. So we as believers have to be in the digital public square, if you were.
So many pastors, ministry leaders are afraid of technology, and it's something they don't understand. So because they don't understand it, or it sounds like a whole lot more work, or as my colleague friend Phil Cook says, if you were born before 1980, you may not understand technology at all. Someone in their teens, 20s, 30s would be way ahead of you. What kind of, how would you talk to a pastor that might be fearful? Encourage, there's my word. How would you encourage pastors to realize that technology can be their friend and not their foe?
When I became involved with the organization Faith Tech, the reason I became involved is that the leader, his name is James Kelly, told me a story. He met with an engineer and he said, okay, you're a Christian, you're an engineer. What are you doing with your skills and talents for Jesus? And he says, I run PowerPoint at my church. And by the way, the guy he was talking to helped invent GPS.
Wow.
Right. So there wasn't a place for him to serve in his church. That's not the case anymore. As you know, it can be as simple as technology is a website. Technology is a mobile app. It's a tool. I think we need to think about technology just like money is a tool. It's not something to be feared. It's the intent. It's back to that redemptive technology. It's the application of the tool that is the concern. So when you're looking at new opportunities in your congregation, whether it will be, you know, like I said, you know, digital church or a mobile app, or maybe even using some sort of AI-based tool, I always recommend people do two things. I recommend they pray. That sounds so simple. What you've got to pray is, God, either confirm or correct. Is this a direction that I need to go? Is this a new way in which you want me to reach people? If so, then I need you to bring me the right advisors. You know, there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Bring the right people around me to have the conversations I need to have to do this in a redemptive way. And if you're an elder-run church, I would, of course, or whatever your governing body is, involve them in the discussion. This is where you need a plethora of perspectives. One person isn't going to have the answer. I have a colleague, and I love that he says this. All of us is smarter than one of us. So get some experts, get some people who really are familiar with the space in which you want to go, and have them talk to your elderberry. Invite them to breakfast. This doesn't have to be a scary process. I mean, actually can be a process of discovery, and you never know where God will call you to minister. I didn't think it would be online when I got that call, you know, that I would be involved in helping to create digital churches. I had never thought about it until somebody said to me, you recognize that ISIS, the ISIS fighters, they have technologists in their ranks so they can reach people on online. I'm like, okay, well, then what do we have to do to be there? Mm-hmm. We've got to be where the people are. I think you've already said that.
Yeah. Got to be where the people are. Absolutely. I used to do I only did it a couple of times, how cults and false religions are attracting more people to their causes than Christianity is. I've only done that a couple of times, like I said. And one of them was ISIS, their abilities of using technology to reach out to young people, especially as we can see with all of the chaos that goes on with that, but they're really good at it. But that's not where we're going in this conversation, but it's a point to make and an example to consider. I like that. I really like that. Either confirm or correct. There's a sermon in there somewhere, and a biblical sermon, confirm or correct. Great talk with Yvonne Carlson. Join us on the next episode. We'll talk more about faith and technology.
You've been listening to the Six Ways to Sunday podcast with Craig D. Forrest, brought to you by Matchstick Media International, dedicated to excellence in media through inspiration, vision, and education. To learn more, visit us on the web at matchstickmedia.org. That's matchstickmedia.org. Your generous donations, large or small, help defray costs for producing this creative podcast. Thanks for listening and subscribing.